All right, well, I'm really excited to be here with you guys. We're going to have fun today. We're going to have a little bit of fun. I'm not going to go as far as Pastor did. No one's dumping anything on me. Nope, not happening. Yeah, my canoe's not here. We're not doing that. No, you're not dumping it. That was an awesome message, though, huh? How many enjoyed that? That was so cool. Oh, my gosh. And then did he do the slime one here? Not yet? I think he did it on the east side. And I wasn't here, but, like, I saw some pictures. I want to be here to dump slime on him. So next Sunday, remember to be here. You can see Pastor get slimed. It's going to be awesome. But it was so cool. You know, he called me when God kind of dropped these ideas on his heart. And he's like, I want to do this and I want to do that. And he was just so excited to bring these words to you. And I know that we're equally excited to receive them. And so, you know, bring a friend next week. You know, bring a neighbor. Just, like, if you have somebody that doesn't really like church, raise your hand if you have people in here that, like, are kind of afraid. You know people that are kind of afraid of church, don't really like church. Well, this is perfect because you can say, hey, look, come to church and you can throw stuff at the pastor at our church. We're going to slime our pastor. So if you don't like church, this is a perfect Sunday to come, right? Because we're going to slime our pastor. So it's going to be great. So that might get him here. But it's going to be an awesome message next week. But today, the title of my message is Don't Worry About It. Everybody say that with me. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's going to be awesome. We're going to deal with what worry does to you and I. Man, worry is such a heavy thing. It is such a heavy thing that so many of us deal with every single day. And through different seasons of our life, there's things that come in and circumstances that happen that just cause you to worry, to be anxious, to be uneasy, right? Is anybody in one of those kind of situations right now? We're all there, right? We've all been there. We've all stayed up late because we're just thinking and mulling over these different things that have happened in our day. And the Bible teaches us what we're going to do about it, and we're going to go over a little bit about it today. I want to start off with a scripture verse before we pray. So if you can go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. We're going to Matthew 6, 34, and it says, you guys have it? You guys have it. You're awesome. Matthew 6, yes, 6:34, and it says, therefore, do not worry. Everyone say worry. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Yep. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not worry. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a question. He said, don't do it. Don't worry. It's a choice that you and I have to make. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness that is new on us every single day, God, that you look down every single morning and every single second and you smile at us. You're so happy with us, Jesus. And so we just embrace that. We embrace that love. We embrace that joy, God, and we ask that today we would be able to learn about you a little bit more, learn about ourselves a little bit more, that we can leave here changed. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and bring the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can see you more clearly. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So a couple years ago when I was in Bible college, I went to Christ for the Nations, and this was like day one. I'm talking when I first got there. And so, I'm a little nervous about sharing the story because my wife is here, and, you know, I love my wife, all that stuff. But the story is actually about another girl. It was before Emily, though. It was before. I didn't even know she existed. But this is a story about another. I was a little kid, basically, going to college, right? So bear with me. So you get to Bible college, and if you've ever gone to, like, college or just been somewhere new where there's a bunch of people, you know, you kind of link up with one or two people, you know, and you just, like, they become your friends, and you're kind of feeling everything out, checking out who's there. You know, all the guys are checking out all the girls, and all the girls are like, are there any cute guys here? And you know how that goes. So I get there, right, and I meet two guys. They're my best friends to this day, and Marcel and Adam. Marcel Monroe and Adam, and you know, we were teenage boys, basically. But I remember getting there, right, and I almost don't want to share it. It's so embarrassing. We get there, right, and my friend, we're hanging out, and we're laughing. We get to know each other a little bit. And then we go to this, like, retreat deal where all the new students get to meet each other. And my friend, me and Marcel and Adam, are looking around. It's like, are there any cute girls here? We got to find some girls, right? We're just dumb guys, right? So we're like, we got to find the cute girls. And so, you know, we're looking around. We're trying to see any cute girls. And we talked to this one girl and her friend, and you know, it was nice. We were flirting with them. They were flirting with us. It was great. And then we leave that night, right, and Marcel and I are talking, and we're talking in our room, and he's like, bro, I bet you can't get her number. Okay, all right, bet, right? Right, if you're a guy in here and you've ever had that conversation with another guy, right, there's something in you, you may not even want her number, but there's like a guy thing in you that's like, I have to do it now. Like, my bro just challenged me, like, it's on, right? And so I remember Marcel looking at me, he's like, bro, I bet you can't get her number. I'm like, all right, bet, tomorrow it's happening. And I remember I found her, and, you know, we're talking. Sure enough, I got this girl's number. I know. Oh, this is the worst decision of my life. You'll know why here in a second. So I get this girl's number. We start talking, blah, blah, blah. And I end up actually kind of liking this girl. Like, I was like, okay, she's cool. Like, I can, you know, see myself getting in a relationship with her. And we talked for a couple weeks. And the more and more I spoke to her, the more and more we hung out, I really, like, really started liking her. And probably 2 months in, maybe a month in, I realized something about her. She not only liked me, but she liked this guy, and this guy, and this guy, and this guy. And she straight up played all of us. This girl was slick. I'm telling you, I've never seen anybody like it. She was talking to me, you know, texting me, oh, yeah, I can't wait to hang out with you, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day, I can't wait to hang out with you. And it was like she was taking turns, like taking shifts. Like, she would hang out with me for a day. And then she would hang out with this other guy for a day. And then this other guy. And it was like, it was the most messed up thing I've ever been a part of. It was horrible, right? And it's funny now. Like, I laugh about it. But in the moment, like, oh, my goodness. It was horrible, right? If you've ever been in a relationship like that, you know how bad it is. You know how bad it feels. And I would see her at school, and I'd see her, like, go sit by another guy. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what in the world? I thought we had a thing. And it lasted an entire semester like this. Yes, how dumb am I, right? I just let this thing drag off, just thinking one of these days she's just going to pick me and I'm going to win. Like, what? It's so dumb. And so I live my first semester of Bible college. Completely, my world was completely wrapped around this girl. It was awful. And I was so anxious and so worried. Like, there was nights where I couldn't sleep because I'm like, oh my gosh, I know she's texting him, or I know she's probably with him, or I know this. And you know how your mind just wanders, right? We've all been there. Your mind starts going crazy, and you make up things that aren't even real, right? I started worrying about things that weren't even true, and I'm like, what in the world? And there was sleepless nights, and I was just so anxious. I remember I was so stressed out about this, and this is also embarrassing. I would get, like, these big pimples all over my face because I was so stressed. I felt like I was, like, eighth grade again. It was horrible. I'm like, I thought I was past that stage. Jesus, I have these pimples. I'm trying to win this girl. She's not going to like me if I got pimples on my face. But I remember, like, my acne came back, and it was just like, oh, I was so stressed out. And worry had really taken over me in that moment. And I allowed it to take away from my very first semester in Bible college. And, you know, college, especially the Bible college, it'll change your life. But it also will do nothing for you if you don't put in the work and put in the effort. I have friends that graduated with me 3 years that are out in the world just doing whatever, like they never even went to Bible college. And I have friends that are leading churches and pastoring and have grown so much, but it's because they wanted it and the other person didn't. And that first semester, guess how much I got from the Lord? Zero. Nothing. Because I allowed worry to steal my attention and my time. I went through an entire semester worried, and I got nothing from the Lord. And part of me is like thankful that I got out of that, because what if I stayed in that 3 years? Not only would have I missed things from the Lord, but I would have missed that beautiful thing over there. If I was so worried and caught up on this other girl, Riley might not be here today. Right? Because worry takes your attention and it strips it from everything else, and it forces you to lock eyes with it. Worry's a thief. And it steals our two most valuable things, our time and our attention. When you and I worry, you lose time. You lose attention. It's a thief, and it comes to distract us. And see, the enemy likes to use worry and anxiety and all of these different things, because he knows that he can't beat you toe-to-toe. He knows that toe-to-toe, squared up, he can't beat you. He can't win. But also, if he knows that if he can just distract you, if he can just steal your attention for a season, if he can just steer your attention and steer your time away from the Lord, he knows that he can prevent you from walking in your purpose and your destiny. He knows that I might not be able to beat you, but if I can just grab your attention, you're not going to walk in your destiny. You're not going to walk in your purpose. And that is why the enemy uses it so heavily against us. It's worry and anxiety, and we're stressed out about things. I want to look at the definition of worry. You guys have it up there? Throw it up there. The definition of worry, and I just Googled this. This isn't biblical or anything, but worry basically means this. To give way to anxiety or unease. To allow someone's mind to dwell on difficulty or trouble. I think it's supposed to say allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. See, a lot of people think they're bound up in worry, bound up in anxiety. But the truth is this, you have to give way to it. You have to allow it to come into your life. See, you're not necessarily bound up in it, you just make the choice to worry every night. You just make the choice to open the door to anxiety. See, when you allow your mind to dwell on difficult things and difficult situations is when you invite worry into your heart. And I know every single one of us are guilty of this. We stay up late, we're laying in bed, and what happens when that happens? Your mind just goes. It just goes. And you think, oh, what if I can't do this? What if I can't pay the rent? What if I'm not good enough to do this? What if this never happens to me? And your mind goes and you allow worry to come in. You have to allow it. You're not bound into it. You stop worrying by stop giving it your attention. Whatever it is. We all have an it in life. And you can stop worry by stop giving it your attention. See, Christians give the devil way too much attention.
Yes, amen.
Us Christians, we give the enemy way too much attention. I preached a message here a few weeks ago on freedom and how to manage your freedom. And one of the keys to that message is that you become what you focus on. You become what you give your attention to. And too many Christians are focusing on their failures, on their shortcomings, on their insecurities. And you're giving all that attention to the enemy. We're making the devil the star of the show. And he's captured us in worry and anxiety, and depression, and all of these different things. I'm going to read a scripture, a passage in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to be in Matthew 6, verses 35 through 32. And I got some guys that are going to help me. If you can come up and get ready, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun here in a second. But let's read this. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 25 through 32. And Jesus is speaking here, and he's teaching about worry. And he says this. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they?" See, verse 26 tells me that worry comes from a lack of an identity. See, a lot of us worry because you don't really know who you are. A lot of us stay up at night and struggle with worry and anxiety because you don't know whose you are. You don't know where you come from and who you belong to because, listen, you're a child of the King. And if we truly believe that and truly knew that, we wouldn't be worried about little things in life and other things in life. We wouldn't allow our mind to dwell on that because we know who our dad is. See, worry comes from a lack of identity. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I love this. I love that Jesus said this. Which one of you by worrying can grow even an inch? None of us, right? And I'm sure a lot of us have tried. Listen, I have tried by worrying to grow back some of my hair. And it doesn't work. I'm sure some of my other bald brothers in the room, they know you can't grow this stuff back by worrying. And look, it's thinning, it's going. So just some proof. I know I'm super nervous too because like, see, there's some bald people out there and y'all look good bald. Like you do, honestly, but like I got a weird small shaped head And I feel like if I go bald, like, it's not going to be good. Like, I'm going to look weird. So I'm a little nervous about that, right? I'm worried about that. But guess what? My worry can't make my hair grow back. Your worry can't change who you are. You know why? Because God made you and created you exactly how he wanted you. And all those insecurities need to go out of the window because your heavenly Father fashioned you specifically the way you are. Can't make yourself taller. Can't make that hair grow back. I'm sorry. I know we'd all like to. Just this once, Jesus. No. Didn't work. Hairs pop out of my head. Like, what? That'd be awesome. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wow. Verse 30. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Everyone say, do not worry.
Do not worry.
Say it again. Do not worry.
Do not worry.
See, that also wasn't a question. Wasn't a suggestion. Jesus is telling us you have the choice, you have the power, you have the authority over worry, and you can choose not to do it. And he's saying, don't do it. Don't worry. Yeah. Choose not to worry. I want to show you what worrying looks like. Can we do that? Can we have some fun today? We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
I'm a visual learner. I like to learn by, like, you know, seeing things. And so I'm going to show you what worry looks like. You got a paddle for me there, guys? In the bucket? All right. So this is kind of what worry looks like. I personally enjoy playing ping pong. Is there any ping pongers out there? Yeah, it's fun. I'm not that good at it, but it's fun. So when, let me grab a ball. Come on out, Jesus. So this is Brandon. You guys may know Brandon as the bass guitarist up here, but Brandon is a man of many talents, if you didn't know. Brandon not only can play every instrument on that ever is known to man, but he also is like, you guys know what the tomahawks are? You've seen people like throw these tomahawks. Brandon's like a ninja. It's crazy. Like, he showed me how he throws these tomahawks. Like, no kidding. Like 25 yards. I'm serious. Just, and it like spins like three times and then boom, sticks right into the tree. I'm like, okay, zombie apocalypse comes. It's me and you, right? Like, we're good. But another one of Brandon's talents is ping pong. We play all the time. So whenever you are living life, right, you're in a relationship with Jesus, everything is good. You come to church on time, right? You give in the, Jesus. You give in the offering. You volunteer at Joshua Kids on Saturday. You're loving life, right? You're going to the Love Center. You're loving on people. You're sharing your faith. Just life is good, right? With you and Jesus. And then all of a sudden something happens. Maybe you're at work and somebody says something to you that brings up some past insecurities and some hurt. And all of a sudden now, it's not just you and Jesus anymore. Now life gets a little more complicated, right? And worry starts to creep in. And it starts to steal your attention. And you start to think about the insecurities that you have. And now you're trying to juggle your relationship with Jesus and this insecurity that you have. And it's not as easy anymore. You know, you're not necessarily coming to church on time. This is so hard. You're not necessarily volunteering as much as you did. You're maybe not giving as much as frequently as you did. It's just life gets a little tougher. And then all of a sudden, something else happens. You get a letter in the mail one day. Well, it's not a letter. It's a bill that you were not expecting. And now all of a sudden, you got this insecurity issue that you're juggling. And now there's this bill that you don't know how you're going to pay for this. You're freaking out here. Oh my gosh. And worry is stolen your attention. And now you're trying to juggle your relationship with Jesus. You're up all night thinking about how am I going to provide for my family. You're up all night thinking about, man, what can I do to change myself because I don't like myself because I'm insecure. Where is all this worry coming from? And then all of a sudden, I'm getting out of breath. Then all of a sudden, you realize that your wife is mad at you. She's yelling at you. Your family's on the rocks. And now you're worried about that. Where are we at? Let's see if we can do four. And now worry has so stolen your attention that you're trying to juggle all four of these different things in life. And guess what? It doesn't work. And you know what happens? Oftentimes in our life, You know what the first thing to get dropped is? Is Jesus. Yep. Because Jesus isn't the pressing matter. Jesus isn't due on the 26th, right? Jesus isn't here necessarily in person in front of us. And so a lot of times with our relationships, oh my gosh, we lose sight of Jesus. We don't come to church on time, or maybe even ever. We come to church once a month, and because of that bill, we don't necessarily give as much as we did, or even give at all. And because of our insecurities, we're not volunteering anymore, and we're not coming and serving Jesus. And we're juggling all of these worries, and guess what? Our relationship with God suffers. Oh my gosh. All right, pause. Let me catch my breath. Our relationship with God suffers, right? It's the first thing. It's the only, the first thing that drops. You know why? Because whenever you're juggling and your attention is split between different things and you're worrying, God's standing over there like, hey, don't forget about me, right? Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. What does Matthew 6:33 say? But seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But what happens in life, we don't seek first the kingdom of God. We know that that rent is due on this day, and so we don't seek first and give. We keep it and we say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I just need this month. See, we don't seek first the kingdom of God when we're busy and we have a busy schedule and we don't, and God's calling us to go to Joshua Kids and love on these kids on Saturday, but we don't seek him first because we're too busy. Or we got these insecurities going on, so I can't walk in my giftings and my talent because I'm insecure about the way I look. I'm insecure about what I sound like or what I look like or whatever, and I can't do that, God, because I'm worried. But Jesus says this. He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And so what that looks like is, come on, Brandon, you're not focused on, no, stay over there. Yeah, I meant like hit me the ball. So you're not focused on that. You're focused on Jesus. You're not focused on the other cares of life. All of these other things that are coming your way, you're focused on Jesus. When you seek first the kingdom of God, you're not necessarily worried about how you're going to pay your bill. You're not trying to juggle that one. I'm not trying to juggle that. I'm focused on Jesus. See how much easier life is when I'm just focused on this orange ball? I'm focused on the Lord. I'm focused on what Jesus has done for me and what he is going to do, because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Don't try to worry about that one. Don't try to worry about these other things. And something happens when you seek first the kingdom of God. Come on now, Brandon. The Bible says that. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then what happens? All things. And all of a sudden, now that your relationship with Jesus is strong, guess who I got on my team now? Guess who I got on my team now? And Jesus is fighting for me. And all of a sudden, life gets a little easier because I don't have to do this alone. Keep fighting, Jesus. Because look, I can walk away, I can put the ping pong paddle down, and guess what? Jesus is fighting my battles. Jesus is playing for me. I don't have to try to make this work. I don't have to try to make ends meet. I don't have to worry about how my kids are going to be raised. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen in my job and my relationship, because Jesus is fighting for me. But listen, that only happens when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It only happens when you and I seek first the kingdom of God. Because listen, you weren't designed to worry. You were designed to trust in him. You were designed to trust in him. Because listen, it's impossible for me to play 1-on-4 ping pong. That was hard, man. I'm up here sweating. I didn't think that was going to be that hard. But it got a lot easier when Brandon joined my team. It gets a lot easier with Jesus. When you worry, you're telling Jesus, you know what, I'm going to take care of this. When you worry, what you're saying to Jesus is, listen, I got this. But if you were to give him all of your worries, all of your cares, and say, you know what? I know they said this, but I'm not going to think about that. I know this is due. I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to trust in him. Can you give my guys another hand? Thank you guys so much. Whew. That was exhausting. Got to do that again in Valley View. It's going to be fun. Thank you. But that's what worry looks like. We try to juggle all of these different things, and it's impossible. It's impossible. Jesus said, which one of you, by worrying, can change anything? None of us. So why do we stay up at night worrying and wake up in the morning worrying and stressed out and anxious, when the Bible says to seek first the kingdom? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know money's tight. Seek first and give. I know time is tight. Seek first and serve. I know other things are pressing you, but you have to put the priority on Jesus. Because I'm telling you, it's a promise in the Bible. I'm not making this up. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all of these other things, you can put that paddle down. You can put it down and know that God is going to take care of you. You can put it down and be reassured that you have the best ping pong player in your team. And he's going to fight your battles for you. We can try to do it ourselves all day long. But we're always going to fail. We're always going to fail. David put it this way. David said, I was young. Come on, we know this. I was young, and now I'm old. And in all my days, I've never seen the righteous person forsaken or his children. Come on. Come on. See, David knew something about worrying. He said, listen, I've been young, and I remember sitting in that field with all my sheep, and I remember this time when the lion came and started attacking me, and how the Lord delivered me in that situation. I remember when the bear came and did the same thing. And then this overgrown dude came and tried to threaten my people and curse my God. And I remember what I did to him. And David recalls how the Lord has been faithful in his life. And he says, listen, not one time in my life has the Lord ever let me down. He's never let the righteous be forsaken. And that promise is true to you. It's true for you. If you would just seek first the kingdom of God, he is faithful to deliver you from everything. See, it's crazy because if you just quit fighting, quit ping-ponging, quit worrying, and allow God to work in your life, you're going to walk away from situations, and all of a sudden, you don't know how, but that bill is going to be paid. You don't know where this money is coming from, but this bill, it's going to come in. It's going to happen. You know, those insecurities that you've had, they're going to go away once you stop fighting. The relationships that are tough in your life right now, if you stop worrying about them and seek first God, all of a sudden you'll realize that the Lord is working in your family. The Lord is working in your life, mending relationships and fixing things. It's a promise. It's truth. It's easy. You know why? Because we have a good Father. We have a good Father. I want to talk about three things really quickly, and I'll be fast. I've got to get out of here. But three things that you and I can do to combat worry. Three things that you and I can do to fight off and prevent worry. The first thing, can I get my water? That ping pong took a lot out of me, I'm sorry. I'm up here like, nah, nah. Horrible. I know, that was very unattractive, I'm sorry. Three things to combat worry. The first thing is intimacy. Intimacy with Jesus. You know, when I came out of that bad relationship at CF and I came out of it scarred and hurt. I came out of it worrying a lot and being very anxious. And I remember when I met Emily. What's up, baby? When I met Emily, some of that stuff came with me. Some of that worry, some of that anxiety, it came with me. And now Emily has never done one thing for me to be justified by worrying. She's never given me a reason to worry. But when I came into that relationship, because of my past history, I brought some stuff with me. I just had trust issues. I worried about what she was doing, when she was doing it, who she was doing it with, because this other girl was... You know what the funny thing is? This is how God works. This is cool. Side note. All right, so she was talking to three different guys, me and two other ones. This is so cool, though. After the first semester, we came back the second semester, me and one of the guys, like, without knowing it, we both broke it off with her because we finally came to our senses and we're like, this is stupid, we're done. But me and this guy became, like, best friends. Like, we became so close, and it was so weird because, like, we hated each other. Like, hated each other, you know? It was like high school girl hate. It was horrible. But me and this guy become best friends. Like he was just, he's so awesome. And then this other guy that she was talking to, the middle guy, the other guy, and him end up going on a missions trip together. They become best friends. It's just so weird how God works. And he's saying, you know what, this might have hurt you, but I'm going to bring you together, and I'm going to restore this relationship. But this is just so cool. But anyways, so With my relationship with Emily, I brought some stuff, right? I brought some stuff in, and I had some worry issues. Yeah, but I can tell you this. The more intimate Emily and I became, even throughout our marriage, the less I worried. The more our intimacy grew, it was the same, and my worry would start to shrink. Because the closer I got to her, the more I realized who she was, her character, how good she was, and I realized I don't have to worry with her. I realized I don't have to do that. So the closer I got, the more intimate I got with her, that worry just left. And so there's many people here that they worry a lot, and I want to suggest to you, get closer to Jesus. Get closer to Jesus, because once you get closer to Jesus, you realize his character. You realize how good he is. You realize that he's never going to let you down. He's never going to leave you, never forsake you, and you don't have to worry. In 1 Peter 5, 7, it says to cast your cares on him, for he what? He cares for you. And the closer you get to him, the more you realize that he truly does care for you. He's going to take care of every need that you have. So the first thing is intimacy. See, in church we have a lot of worriers, but not a lot of worshipers. We got a lot of people worried, but we don't have a lot of people who worship. And I'm not talking about here on Sunday. I'm talking about on Tuesday afternoon when that worry comes in, or on Thursday night when you can't go to sleep because you're reliving this situation. I'm talking about then. Are you a worrier or a worshiper? Are you going to shut your mind off and turn on some worship music and say, God, I'm just going to get close to you right now in this moment. I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to dig in and get intimate with you. Or are you going to worry? It's a choice. Remember, it's a choice. You're not bound up in that stuff. You get to choose what you're going to do. Number one, intimacy. Number two, influence. Influence. Who and what are you allowing to speak into your life? You know, I had Emily and I had a mutual friend, ex-friend. She did this wrong. But we had a mutual friend in Bible college, and Emily and I were talking, you know, it was the beginning of our relationship. It was super cute, and you need to get all the butterflies and everything. Funny story. I love telling this story because Emily denies it to this day. But I know this is true. I have to believe this is true for my own sake. But so everyone at CF and I kind of knew me as the skateboarder. I was the guy always skating around the campus and whatever. And so Emily, like, we talked maybe in person for, like, I don't know, a day or two. You know, and I'm tweeting at her, right? I tweeted at her a couple times. And she posts this picture, right? And she posts this picture of a skateboard. Smart cookie over there, right? She posted a picture of a skateboard, and I forgot what she said. Like, oh, someone teach me how to ride this, or I need to know how to ride. So, see, she'll deny it. She'll deny it all day. But I remember seeing this picture on Twitter, and I was like, I know what that is. I know what that is. You're throwing the line out there a little bit. I see you. But that was just a funny story. She denies it to this day. But during that time, right, during that, you know, flirty time, that fun time, we had this mutual friend, and I remember one day this girl came to me, and like, she started saying all these things about Emily that wasn't true. And she started, like, just straight up lying to me about her. She's like, you need to watch out for Emily. She's like this, and she does this, and you're not right for her in this way, and blah, blah, blah. Just straight up lies. But, like, in the moment, I didn't know, because I didn't know her that well. And so I was stuck in between two influences. I allowed this girl to influence me. And I had Emily, who was also influencing me, and it really messed me up because I already came from a bad relationship. So it really messed me up. It caused me to worry even more. And I remember talking to her, and once I heard her heart, once I got closer to her and I heard what she had to say and I listened to this influence, I began to understand what the truth was. I began to realize that all of that stuff that was told to me was all a lie. And guess what I chose to do? I chose to separate myself from that negative influence. I chose to cut that influence off of my life because, listen, that would have caused me to worry into our future. And some of you are allowing influences in your life, negative people, negative relationships, music, movies, whatever it is, whatever you're allowing into your life that influences you against the Lord. Oh, why do you still go to church? You still do that? You're still a Christian? Oh yeah, but how is that working out for you because this happened to you? Are you sure that God's going to take care of you because I saw that bill on your counter and I don't know if you can pay that? Right? Are you sure that you're still good with being a Christian? Who are you giving your ear to? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to people that are going to cause you to question and cause you to worry even more? Or are you going to get into this and figure out what the Lord says about you? Allow Him to influence you. Realize that He's never going to leave you or forsake you. Read the promises that He speaks to you. And once you allow yourself to be influenced by this, you'll see that worry goes. Worry leaves. It's a way that you and I can fight it. As I got closer to Emily, I realized that she was an angel. Perfect.
Right?
And I allowed her to influence me. Second one, influence. Who are you listening to? John 14, 27. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." Not as the world gives. My peace.
Amen.
This is my peace. Don't take the peace from the world because it's not very peaceful. He says, "My peace I give to you." My influence is what you should be concerned about. Cut everything else off. And the third one, the last thing. Sorry, catching up. All right, third thing, last one, identity.
Yeah.
Identity. Once you know who you are, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, once you know who you are and who you belong to, it's difficult to worry about things when you know who your Heavenly Father is. You know, my mom, she opened our home to foster these four children not too long ago, and they're little kids, and they're just like the cutest kids ever. Like the first time my mom became a foster parent, she took in four kids under 4 years old. I don't recommend it. Don't recommend that. Four kids plus me and my brother, so six kids, basically, because we were immature for a very long time. So my mom had these four kids, and you can tell how being in a foster care system, and a lot of these orphans are so anxious, are so worried. Like, you can see it on their face. You can see it, like, just in their actions and in their behaviors. They're so anxious and stressed out because they don't know where home is. They don't know who mom and dad is. They don't know where the next place they're going to go to. They don't know if they're going to eat. Am I going to go to a good family or a bad family? They have so much to worry about. And you can see in an orphan's life how worry has molded and shaped them. I'm here to tell you something today. You're not an orphan. You're not an orphan. You've been adopted into the family of God. God is your father. You're not an orphan, you're a son. You're a daughter. You have to realize what your identity is and know that you're not out here on your own. You're not out here on your own to just fend for yourself. You have God the Father who's watching out over every hair on your head, no matter how many you got left. Right? Like, you better watch carefully, Lord, because they're coming out. In 1 John 3 and 1, it says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called," what's that say? Oh, that's not up there. There, oh, yeah, there it is. "That we should be called," what?
Children
of God. You belong to Him. You don't have to worry about where your next meal's coming from. Worry if you're going to a good home. Worry about all these things that come with being an orphan. Because the Father is your Father. He's a good one. He's a good one. So as I close, if you could stand with me, I'm going to ask our altar ministers to come forward. When you and I worry, and we allow anxiety to come in, and we're anxious and all these different things, we take our attention off of God and we put it on the noise in our life. Just like you saw me do a few moments ago. I took my attention off of Jesus because I had a lot of stuff coming my way. I had a lot of noise around me that I was trying to hit. And when we allow ourselves to worry in life, you're allowing your attention to be taken off of your relationship with the Lord and placed on other things that you can't even change. And it reminds me of a person in the Bible, Peter, when he stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on water. And he was locked in with Jesus. He was focused on Jesus. And then and what happened? He began to be distracted by the noise, the wind, the waves. There was a lot going on out in the water. And Peter started to get nervous. And instead of looking at Jesus, he began to look around. He wasn't locked in anymore. And what happened to him? He sank. He sank. Now I believe there's many people in here that feel like you're sinking. There's many people that might feel like in the midst of life circumstances, in the midst of all of the hardships of life, because here's the truth. I know that life is difficult and it's hard. It's harder than just an immature relationship at Bible college. I'm not trying to make light of anyone's situation here. I know things are real and life is real. And I know that worry creeps up on us all the time. But when you and I give in to that, begin to sink. And so with every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you're here today and you'd say, you know what, that's me, I feel like I'm sinking right now, I just want you to slip your hand up. If that's you and you say, you know, I feel like I'm just sinking in worry and in anxiety and depression, just slip your hand up. Yep, I see them all over the room. Thank you. This is what I want to do. If everyone can please place your hand on your heart, I want to pray for us. Jesus, we thank you, God, that we're not orphans. We thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to worry or be anxious anymore, God. We thank you that we have not just a good Father, but the best Father. We thank you that you've never let a righteous man down. You've never forsaken us, God. You've always been faithful, even when we're not. Even when we're faithless, God, you're still faithful. And so, Father, I pray that you would reveal to us our identity. That you would allow us to become more intimate with you, Jesus. And that you would influence us, God, in a way that we can leave worry and anxiety behind and completely trust you. Completely trust you, Jesus. So I break off any bondage of worry, every chain. I rebuke every thought that tries to creep into our mind, God, late at night. I just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I speak your peace, Jesus. Not the world's peace, but your peace, God, that you would give to us right now, Jesus. Over every heart and every mind, God. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and what you've done here today, God. I pray, Jesus, that you would help us to walk in this freedom. Help us to manage this freedom, God. Bless every single one here. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone said, amen. Well, if this is your first time here, we're going to have a reception in the back we'd like you to be at. Also, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, do it. Do it. A lot of times I don't like when people try to like persuade and convince other people to give their heart to Jesus. Because if I stand up here and I use my words and intelligence to convince you to give your heart to Jesus, somebody smarter than me is going to come along and convince you to take it back. So what I'm simply going to ask is that, listen, Jesus is the best thing that you'll ever do. Come and try it. Come and try it. I don't want to try to persuade you or convince you. I want you to come up here and try it on your own. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, please come forward. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I guarantee 30 years down the road, you're going to be like, man, that dude was right. Guarantee every single one in here believes it. Amen. All right, so we love you all so very much. Remember to live right, love everyone, and pray hard. Have a good week.